Good to be saved.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 14. Everybody in and ready? No distractions today. They're watching around the world and they don't want to be distracted. We've instructed the cameramen, if you get up and walk out, they're going to zero in on you. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for the word of God today. Lord, the world's coming apart at the seams. They're breaking out of prisons. They're trying to mow down the law enforcement, and we still hiding in Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the comfort of your word and the promises in your word. And Lord, you are right on schedule. Lord, we're baffled by what's going on, but if we just dig a little bit below the surface of your word, you are coming down the road right on time. I pray you bless your people and Lord, this message today from your word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at chapter 14 and verse 31. It said, and Israel saw that great work. You know what that work was? The Red Sea just parted. Not the Sea of Reeds, like the experts tell you. Whenever someone says experts, children, make a flag go up, little antennas go up, beware of the experts. Because it wasn't a little Sea of Reeds that drowned Pharaoh's army, amen? And that wall of water came up and it congealed. I'm thinking that means like jelly or something. If it means something else, tell me later. And they saw those fish looking through there. And about time they got through there, that Egyptian army was drowned. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, I bet, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, there's what we're trying to do in the book of Exodus is parallel our lives as New Testament believers with what's going on with Moses, what's going on with the children of Israel. I'm not sure where this thing's going to take us after 37 weeks now, but they saw the work, they feared, and they believed. We see in a book everything that every saint down through the ages saw, we see. Well, we didn't see the Red Sea part. Yeah, I saw it right there in Exodus chapter 14. See? You didn't see Daniel in the lion's den. Yes, I did. I saw him right there over in the book of Daniel. You didn't see Peter getting free from that prayer. Yes, I did. Right over there in the book of Acts chapter 12, I saw it. Amen? But here's what I want you to notice. They got redeemed as we get redeemed. They got out of bondage as we get out of bondage. They got out from under the hand of Pharaoh as we New Testament believers get out from under the hand of Pharaoh. And I want you to look at the next two words after redemption. Say them with me. Chapter 15, verse 1, the next two words. How about that? Redemption sparked singing. Salvation preempted singing. The Bible's loaded with music. We talk a lot about it. We sing a lot about it around here. Singing, singing, sung, and music and all that. Almost 300 times in the Bible. There's instruments, there's harps, there's organs, there's brass. The largest book in the Bible is a book of songs called Psalms. There's a whole book, it's just one big song called the Song of Songs, which is Solomon. I'm telling you, God's into it. Christianity without music? What do I want to say? I didn't think of saying that, but it's like peanut butter without jelly, salt without pepper. No bananas on your Cheerios. I don't know. It's just, it's undone. It's incomplete. Clear back in Genesis chapter 4, harps and organs show up. And it shows up all under the law, big under the law. God was big on all kinds of singing, special music, skilled music, big orchestras. Obviously, David sang to the Lord alone. There's all kinds of it right through the earthly ministry of Christ. They sang hymns. Paul would address it all the time to the church. And clear out into eternity, they're singing. Paul said this, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Now, I got to restart my computer from time to time. It gets bogged down. It gets slow. It's not broken, but it's not all that it could be. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to shock you, and that's what I want to do because I want to get your attention. I'm looking to change the music here at Old Paths where it needs to be changed. Well, did I say it? Yep. I'm looking to change the congregational music where it needs to be changed. I'm looking to change the special music where it needs to be changed. I'm looking to change the choir music where it needs to be changed. And I'm looking to change the instrumental music where it needs to be changed. Now catch this, because I got you quiet. I'm not talking about changing the beat. I'm not talking about changing the parts. I'm not talking about changing the relation of harmony and melody and rhythm. I'm not talking about changing the instruments. I'm not talking about modern music versus traditional music. I'm not talking about the notes and scooping and swooning and hitting this and hitting that and oohing and on. But here's what I am talking about. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Where needed. Matthew 15. If you got it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." And I'm not saying that's our situation overall in our music in this church. I'm saying it sure is a temptation. It sure is easy in my own case to slip into it when I'm singing congregational music to just utter words that aren't coming from my heart. And when your lips are moving and your heart isn't connected, it's vanity. It's dead. Listen, a church's music program can degrade to a point of dishonoring God without bringing in electric guitars and drums and immodest dancing girls. You can sing songs that are so old they were written by the cavemen. You can hit the notes and not have drums and scooping and sucking on microphones and all that. And you can be as far from God as a Buddhist monk burning incense if your heart is not connected to what your lips are saying. So today I want to bring a message called Satanic Music in a Baptist Church. You got a form, when I slip into it, when? I could slip into it three times in one song, and you know you can too. You got a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. What's wrong? You know what's wrong with the devil's music in Ezekiel chapter 28 when he said, "In the day thou was created, and thy pipes and all them, he was a musical creature"? Listen, his heart wasn't in it. Preacher, I believe his music was musically sound. I think the notes were right on. I think his instrumentation was right on. I don't think he was playing with a rock beat because everybody would have figured him out. But the heart of his music was flawed. Nothing outer was wrong. If we are not careful, music can sound right and be satanic. How without a rock beat? How without all the plug-in and dancing girls? If your heart's not in it. Don't you need a reset from time to time on this? Me too. So a missionary, and you talk about deception. You talk about deception. Man, we got all the notes right, and we got the this right, and we hold the mics right, and we got the instruments right, and we don't do this, and we dress right, and we sing them from the 1300s and this and that. And all the while, our heart ain't connected. It's satanic. So a missionary comes in here Wednesday night, and I'm glad he said it because I think our young people need a little reinforcement from time to time. He said, I've been in 140 churches, and this is the best music I've ever heard. And I praise God for that. And I fight pride in hearing that. But I'm going to tell you what he can't see. He can't see the hearts. All he hears is the lips. God sees the hearts. And let me tell you something. If you have 300 people singing and 200 hearts are just mumbling the words, you could have five old ladies couldn't carry a tune in a bucket and can't even find the bucket singing in a Methodist church up on the hill. Got to be more pleased with that than he would be with us. What are you saying? Hit the reset. Hit the reset. Amos chapter 5. And if you think you're nervous finding it, I didn't. Oh, there I am. I didn't even put a little thing in there. Usually preachers will put a thing in the hard ones, Gary, you know. I like Amos because he said, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. I was just picking fruit when the Lord called me. But Amos chapter 5, verse 21, satanic music in a Baptist church. Amos chapter 5, verse 21, I hate. That's a hard word, Lord. Look what he hates. I despise your feast days, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard those peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, and I will, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. Here's what I think. I think, Brother Sirk, those offerings were being offered right in accordance with the Mosaic Levitical law. I don't think they were bringing up torn beasts in this instance. I don't think they were bringing up a moldy grain or whatever they happened to be offering in these meat offerings and such. I don't think they were singing to the rock beat or dancing around half naked. I think they were doing it right in accordance with the way God would have it, except their hearts weren't right. And here's what God said. Shut it off. In another place, he says, away with it. You know what the trouble is? You got trouble when God shuts it off. Because I don't know much about church music, but here I know the most important element of it is God. We got a great song leader. I think the best I've ever seen. I've never seen, you know, he's at my house every week learning notes and things like that. So I'm not saying he's a dunce and doesn't know about music. He certainly knows a lot. But I'll tell you what, in my opinion, a song leader needs to know more than he needs to know music. He needs to know God. Amen. Aren't you glad we're singing after the service today so we could get this all right? I mean, you can respond. Colossians 3, Ephesians 5. Colossians 3. Now, all ends of the musical spectrum contend over these verses. Watch this. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, so your music, which is the context we're talking about, ought to have some word in it instead of just repetitious nothing. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Okay, so that's where we park. Man, this is church music, and I'm for it, and we need it, and it's being corrupted. But I want you to notice the part that you don't hear much. Singing with grace in your hearts. Your hearts. Verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. So if you ever figure out the harmony and the melody and the rhythm and the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, but it's not connected to your heart, it's honoring with your lips, and it don't count. Man, if you're going to sing, we might as well make it count. Isn't our Lord worthy today? Amen. Ephesians 5. Satanic music in a conservative Baptist church. How's that? Just don't do it from your heart. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here it is again. Singing and making melody, say it, in your heart to the Lord. It's not just what you're singing that can disqualify it from pleasing God. If you were to ask my opinion, I'd say singing, break the chains, 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 break the chains. I don't know if it pleases God or it don't. I notice I wouldn't. If I was God, I'd say, turn that off. You're killing me here. Versus victory in Jesus. So it's not what not always what you're singing that can disqualify it from pleasing God, but everybody on all ends of the spectrum would agree there's something you can sing that wouldn't please God. Now that may be Hail Satan, but at least somebody would agree that somewhere it's wrong. It's not just how you sing that can be wrong. You know, 57 syllables for one word. Versus amazing. Everybody on all ends of the spectrum would agree somewhere what the people are doing up there is probably outside of the spectrum of the Bible. Would we agree? So it's what you're singing. It's how you're singing. But it's the source of your singing that can disqualify it from pleasing God. We say, when we got saved, I was 12 inches from heaven. I went from my head to my heart. Hey, when we worship God, if it don't go from here, right? The source isn't connected. It's lip service instead of a song service. My dad sent Anna to Eastman School, right, Anna? Eastman or Hochstein? Eastman School for voice lessons. She teaches a lot of your kids' voice. Tune your voice. But I'll tell you what she can't do is tune your heart. We sing that song, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. Go to Psalm 57. I'll show you. You better tune your heart or your music might be satanic, and I'm saying that to myself. I could be cleaned up, prayed up, fasted up, read up, not fed up, and coming here in the first three stanzas of the first two songs, I am happy in the service, and I'm not connected. Satanic. Psalm 57:7, watch. Watch the sequence. Watch what always happens first. My heart is fixed. Now, I know what that means. I'm purposed. I'm focused. I'm committed. I mean it. But can I take the liberty to say, my heart isn't broke? And I don't mean broken like, ooh, everybody hurts my feelings all the time. I mean, my heart is ready. It's where it's supposed to be to sing. My heart is fixed. Oh God. My heart is fixed. Then I will sing and give praise. The heart's got to be right first before we can utter a note that is going to be pleasing to God. Psalm 108. Whoa, God, that's where your singing's got to start. Especially you young people that have been doing it since you were knee-high to a grasshopper. You're going to get such a tendency to get your notes and your parts and your pitch pipes and all that stuff right, and your heart is farther from God than, and I don't mean in sin. I mean, just does it sound good? Start here, watch. Psalm 108:1. Oh God, my heart is fixed. It's not broken. I'm ready. I'm committed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Don't turn there. Psalm 103:8 says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. He wants your whole heart, not half heart. Son, you're doing that half-heartedly now. God wants our whole heart. A house divided cannot stand, and a heart divided cannot stand, and a church divided cannot stand, and a family divided cannot stand. And we get to going on that and get our hearts right, right with God, right with men. We sing, he's pleased, we're edified, and we got strength to go on another day. We can't afford to let God say, shut that off, I don't want to hear it, I'm out of here. I know no better way to hit reset than with the Word of God. Number one, the author of music is God. Isn't that deep? I've watched about 10 hours of evolution debates in the last week. And it always prompts questions. And I often ask, how does evolution explain music? Singing. I mean, an ape is supposed to be further up the line than a bird, but the ape can't carry a tune in the bucket. And I'll tell you what, at 4 a.m. this morning, those birds were singing praises to God. How does singing contribute to survival? Because after all, the better and more you can sing, you must be further along in evolution. That would make Jason Lodice further up the chart than me. You're a Neanderthal. So I Googled it. When in doubt, if you want to know what the simpletons think, Google it. How did singing evolve? Men sang out of their feelings long before they were able to speak their thoughts. But of course, we must not imagine that singing means exactly the same thing here as it is in a modern concert hall. When we say that speech originated in song, what we mean is merely that our comparatively monotonous spoken language and our highly developed vocal music are differentiations of primitive utterances which had more in them of the latter than the former. When you don't know what you're talking about, just say big, long words and confusing, they'll think you're smart. These utterances were at first like the singing of birds. They didn't say where they evolved from. I mean, were the birds singing on day one? And the roaring of many animals and the crooning of babies, exclamative and not communicative. More big words. That is, they came forth from the inner craving of the individual without any thought of any fellow creatures. Our remote ancestors had not the slightest notion that such a thing of as communicating ideas and feelings to someone else was possible. This guy Otto Jemson from Its Nature, Development, and Origin, I guess he knew somebody back there that told him that. Listen to the certainty of science. Singing, the vocal production of musical tones, is so basic to man, listen. Its origins are long lost in antiquity and predate the development of spoken language. That means we have no idea what we're talking about, but we're going to tell you anyways. The voice is presumed, hear that certainty, to be the original musical instrument. It is likely the earliest singing was individualistic and improvisatory. Like suppository, I don't know. A simple imitation of the sounds heard in nature. At what point the singing of meaningful communicative words, sounds began, cannot be established, watch, cannot be established, but was doubtless an important step in the creation of language. Wow. $50,000 a year to learn that from somebody smart. Many anthropologists believe, say no more, the development of a lowered larynx, important to the articulate speech as it effectively makes the flexible lower tongue of the front wall of the pharynx, was a relatively recent aspect of human evolution. There are no bones in the human larynx, therefore, also archaeological remains offer no direct physical evidence of the vocal apparatus of prehistoric man. We lack studies, but there's a general belief. That's called religion, I think. We suspect, tempting though, it is to see a relationship between such things. We lack the means to support it factually. Then why are you writing an article? I don't know how it worked. I'll just move on and say, get a dime store Bible. I will say this, though. This had to kill him. The first noted song, Jason, where there was actually notes, 800 B.C., a hymn to creation. That had to kill those monkeys, didn't it? Let's get some help for our hearts today to hit a reset, okay? Origin of music is from God. Therefore, the purpose of music must be for God. And the focus of music must be on God. I'm not talking about entertainment music. That's another subject for another day. I don't understand where it fits. I'm talking about God's music. So when the preacher comes and says, okay, everybody turn to number 31, or you get situated over here and you're bing, 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 tuning, you're getting up here, turn these mics on and all that. What we're doing is we're fixing our hearts to remind ourselves, because your flesh ain't going to remind you. And your little iPhone isn't going to remind you. That's going to remind you there's something else going on. That it's from God and for God and on God and about God and to God. And I'll just be honest with you. I know we're living in a modern generation, and I'm not doing too well in it. I can't concentrate on God when I'm texting. I have a hard time concentrating on the road when I'm texting. Oh, no, I didn't say that. I don't know how some of you do it. The new version of the Bible is going to say, they honor me with their lips, but their fingers and their eyes and their attention are far from me. We got young people in here text the entire song service. How do you do it? You can't put your boyfriend on hold for 15 minutes to sing to God Almighty? I don't think you can connect. While we're on the subject, do what you want. I like a Bible. You know why I like the Bible, Bill? Because when the preacher's reading the text, something doesn't come across and say, Perry's Chicken Wing Pizza, $1.99. Weather alert, tornado alert, Friday. Listen, I like going to the mailbox. I like checking my email. I wouldn't say I'm an addict, but if I'm there, I'm gonna check in. And if you can resist checking in when the preacher's preaching,
and the songs are singing, and the word of God is going forth for a little, little sliver of your week. If you could resist it and not be thinking about what just came across your screen, let alone opening it up, then go ahead. But I don't know how you do it. You got to say these things in the modern world. Because here's what I fear. How many hearts have to be disconnected before he says, see ya? And they wist not that the Lord had departed from them. Ichabod! The glory of the Lord is departed, and you got all the right clothes, and you got all the right instruments, and you got all the right songbooks, and you got everything but God. So I got to fix my heart to sing to him, for him, about him, and every 30 seconds my mind wants to drift. I'm just being honest today. I can't focus on God when I'm mad at somebody and bitter. I don't know how some of you do it. I don't think you do. Mad at this one, hating that one. Can we shut that off for 30 minutes a week? Here's what I fear. And I have to fight it like you do. How many have to be in that mode? Mad at their pastor, mad at their spouse, mad at their friends, before God said, you know what? Their hearts aren't in this. This is hard enough, Eric, to do with God. I'm too tired to try to pump something up and do it without him. Can we just lock arms and agree in this one little area that when it comes to us worshiping God Almighty in the midst of our diversity, in the midst of our differences, in the midst of our squabbles, in the midst of that and this and the other and that one and this one, can we just for 30 minutes concentrate on God Almighty and see if that don't start taking care of some of that other stuff? Because how much of it before God said, this ain't a song service, this is lip service. I'll be honest with you. I can't concentrate on God when I got sin in my heart. I can't sing to God when there's sin in my heart and whatever the sin. It could be bitterness, it could be lust, it could be disconnectedness, just in my heart not being it, whatever it is. But here's what's dangerous. You wouldn't know the difference. There could be 50 of us in here at any given time with sin in our heart, with sin in our mind. And my mind is sinning. Listen to this fountain spew forth bitter and sweet. My mind is sinning. My heart is sinning. And at the same time, my lips are saying, blessed be the name. You think God wants that? That's like telling your mom you love her while you're slapping her. I'm telling you, it's as dangerous as contemporary Christian rock, croc, rap, whatever you want it. Is it not? In some respects, I'm glad I'm not good enough to sing parts and play instruments. I mean, I think that's an important thing. Because that's just more challenge to have to concentrate. Okay, how does this sound? Is this going to be right? Sometimes I used to golf with my uncle, and he you get these guys, they're up there for 5 hours and fixing their pants and hitting their cleats and lining it up, and then pew, the guy ain't never hit a ball in his life. I mean, he looked like a pro standing there till he hit the ball, right? And you get up there and you're gonna get all your little parts right, and sometimes I gotta tell my girls, just get up there and sing. It's not perfect. Is your heart perfect? They love when I use them as examples. Listen, get your lip sounds right, but get your heart sounds right too. Okay, let's go in Exodus 15,
and we'll run through it, and then we'll sing.
We're going to sing one day perfect, on key, heart right, body perfect, wide awake. Woo. Then sang Moses. Man, he just got saved, if you will. New Testament application. And the children of Israel, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. I like the fact that they sang together. God's into congregational singing. All this new, I mean, I'm for special music. I think it's scriptural. I think it's good to set the table before the Word of God. But let me say this. All this entertainment stuff, we've had people come from churches that have a worship team and a praise team and all that, and I'm not being critical in that today, but what I am saying is this. People genuinely have asked me, what are we supposed to be doing right now? Amazing. You can't follow that. What do you mean, worship team? Are you singing special music, or are you leading us in a hymn? And everyone's just kind of standing out there and don't know what they're doing. They're singing together here. Children of Israel, this song, unto the Lord, aha, unto the Lord, that's a big one, and spake saying, so this is the start of the song, watch, I will sing. So they were singing about singing. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you're not worshiping the worship music. For he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. They're singing about victory. Now here's what I want you to just ask God, Lord, help our people right now to let some hymns just flow into their mind as they're walking through your word here, because I'm thinking of victory in Jesus right now, and faith is the victory. The Lord won! He delivered me! He got me! Years I spent in vanity and pride. I didn't care my Lord was crucified. No, and not it was for me. He died at Calvary. I got out! The devil don't own me no more! The horse and the rider hath he thrown into the sea. Wow. He killed people. You say, should we be singing about that? You will in heaven. Read the book of Revelation. See what they're saying about that evil one that got thrown into that fire. The Lord, now watch. The Lord is my, this is declaration singing. He's making a proclamation. The Lord is my strength and song. See, God has got to be our song. It's not entertainment. It's not about me singing to you. God is our song. And you know what you got to get in your song? You got to get some God in it. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. Look at the personal. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Oh, let's talk about some specifics. Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he hath cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Well, that doesn't sound very politically correct. Unpolitically correct. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Now watch how this changed from declaration and proclamation to direct and personal. Thy right hand, O Lord. You got to sing to God once in a while. You don't get too heavy on the singing about God. A lot of times that's what the older music does. And the new music, they just sing to God, never sing about. If you're going to get a Bible balance, thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. I'll tell you what will change your music. Sing to God. And the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. With the blast, just tell God how. Ladies, your husband could use this once in a while too. I didn't have that in the sermon. But see that she reverence her husband. Us men are the strongest, most masculine, insecure beings on the face of the earth. Tell us something good. You know when there's a snowstorm and he's out there blowing that driveway? feel like a man. Toro is my friend. I got it, honey. We'll get you out of here in a little bit. Oh, honey, we would be stranded if it weren't for you. Where'd that come from? That come from God, sisters. God's up there. Tell them, oh, you did this, and you did that, and you're so great, and you whooped everybody. Yay, Dad. Yay, get them, get them, get them. What happens? God gets in on that. That's what a song. So you don't need new instruments. You need some more God in it. Let's go on. 9. The enemy said, let's talk about the enemy a little bit. Hey, look at this here. You know an enemy that said, I will, I will, I will, I will exalt, I will. Ooh, look at here in verse 9. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. And to that I say, that's what you think. That's what you think, Satan. His day is coming, because his day is coming. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead, woo, in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee? Anybody got one? Who is a godly voice like thee? Or who shall... Right? Ask him. And he'll say, I am. And we'll say, amen. Next thing you got something going between you and God instead of you and your neighbor, the girl up the road, or this and that. And God gets in, and God is happy, and God is ministered to, and we're ministered to, and we make it another day. Don't underestimate what we're talking about here. We can't afford to lose God in this. 12, thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth has swallowed them, thou in thy mercy. Oh, you better sing about some mercy. Mercy, you can think of 100 songs. Led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. I will sing of my redeemer, I don't know. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. And listen, you know what this is? Now he's talking future. When they get across, the word's going to get out what God did. So he's singing a proclamation. This is what our God did. He's singing direct, oh God, you're wonderful. Now let's make some predictions based on the book. Give me one about the future. There is coming a day, right? Watch. The people shall hear future and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. The dukes of Edom shall be amazed at the mighty men of Moab. Trembling shall take hold upon them, the inhabitants of Canaan. 16, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. Now he starts, they say, you're going to get them, God. Keep singing. 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. Now he's talking about his people. In the place there is come one glad morning. You know the Lord likes to hear that. Looking forward to being with him someday. I hope he comes back December 4th. O Lord, which thou made thee to dwell in the sanctuary. O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen of the sea. The Lord brought again the waters. You see the rest of it. Now, this is why it's so important. Don't miss this, and then we'll sing. Verse 21. Oh, let's not miss 20. We sing the song, Moses' sister aided him. This is where it comes from. 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel. The Greek says hanky, in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them. Now look back at verse 1, what Moses said. I will sing unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Look what she answers. And Miriam answered that, sing ye unto the Lord, for he had triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Hallelujah. Song service. God is ministered to. Saints are ministered to. Now we can march to Zion another day.
Look at verse 22, Brother Jay. And Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days. So let's just say, for preaching's sake, Michael, it was Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. In the wilderness, they found no water, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured. The song service of song services from the heart to Almighty God, proclamation singing, declaration singing, personal singing, bragging on God, everybody shouting, and 3 days later, you better come back and do it again. Let's stand. Come on, preacher. Come on, now, orchestra.